Hey everybody, Gregory Conley here with another edition of the Your Video Store Shelf podcast here at yourvideostoreshelf.com. Joining us on the show today is David Sterling, the lowest of low budgets work for hire producer in the Los Angeles area who has been going at things for God knows 15 years, maybe more. And after making more than 50 movies, his latest, Blood Mask, which he made for Razor Digital Entertainment, which is putting out that film, is coming out actually April 24th. So by the time you listen to it, it's already out on your video store shelves. David, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. When I was talking to you yesterday, you mentioned that you were coming back from the Midwest, was it?
Yeah, I was in Minneapolis, and then I went to Chicago. We're still in the, don't got a street date on this stuff, but I've been shooting some high-definition music videos. I've done about 10 bands so far this year, about 40 different clips in about 3 or 4 months. It should be coming out in some stores. I'd give you more details, when we get closer, but that's what I was doing in the Midwest.
So you were actually directing the music videos?
Oh, no, I was shooting in L.A., and I deliver them to a company on a hard drive this week. So
they
already shot them. So, and in fact, if you want, we can talk about this later, but that's what I was doing in the Midwest. We're doing some music video stuff.
We'll cover that later. And before we even get into Blood Mask, on the subject of music, I know that I was reading some interviews that you did, and you've mentioned before that prior to getting into the B-movie industry, you shot, like, thousands of hours of live concert footage for various bands.
Yes, I started out, I lived in Chicago originally, and I went to Columbia College, and I was going to go into the music business. I wanted to be an A&R guy. So, I started out doing lights in clubs for bands, and then when I moved out to L.A., I started working in different nightclubs shooting band footage. And the way it works out in L.A. is a lot of it's like showcasing. So we get about 3 to 5 bands a night, and I did that for about 3 years. So I have archives about close to 3,000 hours of this stuff. I have some name bands, a lot of independents, hair bands, new wave, punk, all that kind of stuff. I have this archive. I've been looking to do something with it, and I'm exploring those possibilities right now. But it's like a vast collection of stuff.
Does the footage ever pop up in a David Sterling produced movie?
No, I protected this stuff. It's never been distributed. I feel like it's, because it's from back in the day, so I feel it's like a real treasure of stuff, so I'm saving it for the right occasion.
Cool, and good luck with that. But right now, let's hear a bit about your latest, Blood Mask, the film that's coming out through Razor Digital.
Blood Mask is a film that I started working with Jeff Ferguson over at Digital Razor, talking about making this movie about a year ago. He loves that movie, the Baba film, Black Sunday, or Black Sabbath, I guess. And he goes, I want to do this movie like that. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking to myself, that's like a period piece. I'm like, I don't think I could do a period piece, but we could do like an opening similar to that movie. All these exorcism pictures were coming out. So I'm like, let's do like a combination of that type of stuff, So we came up with this idea, and let's see, who wrote that picture? I had a woman in Palm Springs write that film for me, and we decided to shoot it in the summer, and I hired Dennis Devine to direct the movie. Dennis Devine was one of the directors on my first movie, Things, T-H-I-N-G-S. It's a horror anthology. There's three of them, actually. Things 1, Things 2, and actually, Things 3 is known by Dead Time Tales that came out a few years ago on DVD and VHS. So I've been working with Dennis for a long time, and about a year and a half ago, we did another picture together called Curse of Pirate Death that came out through Brain Damage Films. I think it hit Best Buy and stores like that. And he did a, you know, I liked what he did on that. I go, let's try doing another film together. So we decided to do Blood Mask together. And we hired some people that I work with before. I like to call them the micro-budget superstars. we use Randall Malone in that, who's been in a lot of my pictures. And just trying to think. I think we used Danielle DeLucas, who's in Curse of Lizzie Borden. And, you know, people like that. I work with Ford Austin, who not only acted in my movies, but he's also directed on some. He worked on the vampire movie I have coming out in a few weeks. And he directed Curse of Lizzie Borden. So, and then we got some new people. And we went down and we kicked some ass. And we made, like, a real cool movie. There's a real cool-looking mask in that movie. I guess it's coming out in a couple weeks. I think people really like it. It's like, you know, there's a lot of exorcism-type pictures coming out or came out. And if you like that type of stuff, possession of young teens, possessions of young teens getting murdered, killed, and blood and gore, and a nice looking cast, good acting. I think you'll like the film. It's very enjoyable. It was shot well. It's really put together nice.
Sounds like a fun time.
Well, you know, that's what we try to do here. You know, I have a low amount of money, but, you know, my goal is to make the movies look like we spent a little more money than we did. And when somebody watches, they say, oh, that was kind of cool, or, you know, that delivered the goods. I mean, that's all you could ask for on these movies. You know, you have a lot of people that just want to go out and make a movie without the funds, and they go and they try the best they can. And I use a lot of the same people, you know, the editors, directors, writers, you know, and actors. And we just go out and you know, I like to think I do it better than anyone else.
And it seems as if no one is ever going to accuse Dave Sterling of overspending on anything or being irresponsible with a budget, because most of the movies that I've seen that you've produced, it seems as if you have just about zero.
Well, you know, this is like every movie has a budget. I would never say zero because, you know, money is money, whether it's $1,000 or $100 million, it's you still need it. That's, I'm going to say the blood, the lifeline of these movies, or all movies, is money. You know, you're never going to get a, it's like, hey, I spent zero on it. You're never going to get anything out of that. But, like, get a little money and go out and make something. It's, at the end of the day, I think what I do is a lot different than a lot of people that actually do low-budget or micro-budget filmmaking is I look at it like as a business, because there is a bottom line on every movie that's made. There's always, you know, people get excited about making stuff, and then they got to go out and actually make it, and they got to spend money, whatever it is, buying lunch, getting blood, paying for the director, you know, you want to pay your crew something, you want to pay the editor something, you want to try to get the most professional people you can for the amount of money you have, because then you're going to get the best movie you can for the amount of money you have.
So, looking at your long list of films that you've produced, what films do you think that most people are going to probably recognize your name from or have seen before?
Well, a lot of people have seen my Alien 3000 that came out through Lionsgate.
Yes.
People have seen my Witch's Sabbath that came out through Brain Damage. Unseen, people have seen because it's not only came out in Hollywood Video, but it also played on our Showtime for a while. And, you know, those are like three. Just kind of, you know, it's like, it's hard to remember everything. Camp Blood, people like the Camp Blood series. Most people know what that is. You know, there's so many people love the Evil Sister 1 and 2 series. They like those movies. Evil Sister, I really like that movie because that movie is really a low budget kind of affair, but it really delivers on the blood, the butts, and the boobs, you know?
Wow, there you go. And you, I was just going to say, you never even went to film school. You just kind of got started with things, correct?
Oh, I didn't go to film school because I didn't think I was going to go in the music business. I went to college. I have a degree, and I specialize in the music industry, the business of music. It didn't really work out the way I wanted it, but it's funny, like all these years later, I'm doing a lot of music-related stuff right now, and I believe in school no matter what you take. I think when you're young, I think it's good to go and go to college, complete an education, because I think it's a challenge. And if you could get through a four-year degree, I think you get through a lot. It teaches you how to think about things logically in life. So I think, you know, if you you take business, but you want to go into movie business, I think that's good, you know, or, you know, because you know how to complete things. Movie making is about completing, because if you don't complete your picture, it's worth less than zero, you know. So that's my film school. I think that's cool. You know, a lot of people go to film school. That's fine, but I think more important than that, get your four-year degree, you know.
And you know what? I actually I get part one of my four-year degree in 3 weeks, so I'm on my path.
Good for you.
Thank you. And so tell us about how you got started. We've written about on our website about the Pfeiffers and Vista Street Entertainment, because we did a witchcraft retrospective where we reviewed all 12 witchcraft films. And I believe that your first film, Things, it was you met Jerry because Jerry distributed Things through Vista Street Entertainment.
Repeat that one more time.
That Things, your first film, went out through Vista Street Entertainment?
Yeah, my first film that ever got distributed was Things. And it's like a horror anthology. It's like Creepshow, and I worked with Dennis Devine on one of the stories, and I worked with Jay Wolfel on another one of the stories. And he put that movie out, and that's how I know Jerry. I know Jerry Pfeiffer, and I know Michael Pfeiffer. And there are other, you know, I know the whole family for a long time, you know, and Jerry's a nice guy. He's an interesting guy. Jerry, in the mid-90s, were giving people, like, $3,000 to go out and make a movie.
Yes.
That's not for Things. We spent more on Things, because I produced that with my own money. Dennis put some money in, too. So that's a little. And Mike Tristano, he's like a sex guy, a gun guy, and he was one of the other producers of that film. But Jerry goes, hey, I got some money. I got $3,000 to go out. I'm looking for, like, little action films. So Jerry was the first guy in the business that gave me any amount of money to make a picture, you know, so that was kind of a milestone. It's one thing to, like, put your own money into something, but it's one, whatever the amount of money is, it's hard to get money out of people. So that was, like, that was really important. That was a big thing when we did it. It was exciting. Yeah, that was a great film. There's a movie I did for him called Human Prey. Human Prey was my first movie I did. But it was, like, exciting, you know. He gave me a little money, and we went out and made something, and, you know, the rest is, micro-budget history, you know.
Yeah, I have a copy of Human Prey somewhere, and one of these days I'm going to have to sit down and go through the Vista Street Library from the mid-90s and check out all those $5,000, $3,000 action films that were somehow produced.
Well, you know, Jerry's made about 7 or 8 movies. He might have made more than that. You know, of course, famous for the witchcraft films. But, like, if you love micro-budget history or movies or whatever, he made a lot of them. And a lot of those films came out on VHS, of course, in the 90s. But in the I don't know what we call them now, the 2000s or whatever, a lot of that stuff came out through the BCI, the 4-packs and the 10-packs.
Yeah.
So I have, like, all those movies that got smaller VHS releases in the 90s, got, you know, like Evil Sister came out on VHS through, not Brain Damage, the company before, I'm just trying to think, Darren used to work for this other company in the 90s. So all this stuff came out on VHS, but like Human Prey, I think it's on a 10-pack, so there's probably like 10,000 units of those, or maybe more, floating around in these really cool 10-packs that BCI put out. I don't really think they're putting them out like they used to, you know, but that was like, they had really nice artwork, and, you know, for $15 you get like 10 crummy films and maybe get one or two that's fun, and like, you know, it's an easy way to build a DVD collection fairly quickly, you know, so.
And when did you kind of get the idea that this whole B-movie making, that you could extend it into your own company where you could make several films a year for several different people?
Well, it all kind of evolved, but going back to how I got involved in wanting to make movies. I was never a big movie lover growing up, and I wasn't a big horror fan at all. And then around 84, 85, I started reading Fangoria magazine. In fact, I got almost every Fangoria from 84 till now. I probably got 95% of everyone that ever came out. In fact, I'm in my office right now, and I'm looking at them right now. So, And then I live in Chicago, and we just got cable around then. We got cable later than a lot of other states did. So I was reading all these movie magazines, and I'm watching a lot of movie cable, and I was going to school, and I started reading, like, Variety. And I would see these companies in the 80s, like Canon and Empire and New World, and I see all these companies with... They're making all these movies, and the artwork was fantastic. I mean, the artwork was the best in the 80s. They didn't even compare, you know. I still got a lot of the artwork. I've saved a lot of these books from back, way back when. So I'm like, wow, I want to make a lot of movies. I'm like, I want to have movies. I want to have, like, cool artwork. And you know, I didn't make a living, too, so I kind of all combined it. You know, of course, I did want to do music, too. I was, you know, young, so... Not that I'm old now, I'm still young, but at least I think I am. So you try different things, you know, when you're in school and stuff. So I was doing some music, and I was, thinking of how I could get into the movie business. A side note is there used to be a magazine called Cinemagic in the 80s, and it was like, you know, it was like, do it yourself at home movie making. And I first started writing to like just kids around the country, hey, I'm interested in getting into this movie thing, because I didn't know what I was doing. Well, one of the letters I wrote was to John and Mark Colonia, and they've done like a lot of movies, theaters, and just a ton of stuff. So I've been friends with Mark and John for about 20 years, I guess, more or less. And that's a sidebar, but I work with those guys. They edit some of my pictures once in a while and stuff. So I used to, you know, combination of all this stuff. I'm like, you know, I want to make a lot of movies, and I want to have a business out of it. You know, I always like, you know, a lot of, you know, directors, they don't think about business. They go, hey, I want to make my movie, you know. Producers are a little different animal, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I kind of, forgot the question you asked me, but how I kind of got involved in making these movies, and I want to make a lot of them. In fact, I wish I could make more. It's just like, it's time consuming. I mean, you got to go and get an investor. You got to come up with some money. Then you got to go and make the movie, you know. I mean, if I had my way, I'd be making two a month. It's just, you know, just everything involved to make these things.
you'd be taking Yuli Lomel and kicking his ass at it.
Oh, you know.
He's done 16 over 2 years.
Yeah, that's a lot of movies. We do, we try to do like 5 or 6 every year, you know, which, you know, it's not a bad amount, you know, so.
And on your website, which is sterlingmoviefactory.com, you mentioned that, let me read the line here. Founder David Sterling has produced over 50 films on a micro budget, 10,000 to 100,000, all of which have made money. Does that still hold true to this day?
Of course, they all make money. It's, you know, I was thinking when I knew I was going to do the interview, I wanted to push the website, which you're doing, www.sterlingmoviefactory.com. Yeah, you know, they're all making money. You know, they're low budget. So I think if you do it right, I think it's kind of hard not to make money.
Low budget, low risk.
Low risk doesn't mean there's no guarantee, and you definitely don't get rich making a single particular film, you know. But you know, there's lots of people out there that want these movies. They want to distribute it, and we're talking worldwide, you know. I've had movies not only a lot come out in the U.S., but these lower pictures that came out in Japan and Russia and China. You know, a lot of big countries throughout the world. I mean, it's important to the movie business in whole that we have the world that we're working with, not just the U.S. Even I think the U.S. is most important. But if you're making a low-budget film and you could sell Russia, I mean, let me take that back. You sell it Japan, you could sell Germany and U.S., I mean, you're in good shape, you know?
Are you the one who sells films, or do you often pawn that off to somebody else who takes it to the AFM and everything?
I'm not a video distributor. I don't really sell them. I kind of just sell them to the distributors. So that's really not my business. My business is, if you see my business card, it's producer for hire. You know, I make them for a lot of distributors. In fact, I think that's why I've done pretty good, because most of the films that I do, I'm doing them for distributors. So there's a good shot they're going to get out somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm. And do you have films that you made, and even though they were profitable, they still just never found their way out there in the U.S.?
Everything comes out. I just had a film come out that I did a few years ago. It's a long story, but we'll make it short. I did this film. It wasn't very good. It's called Deadly Culture. Just came out through Pendulum Pictures, Darren Ramage. That's one of his labels. So I'm sure you're familiar with Darren.
Yes.
I think you know who he is.
And actually, I want to talk about Darren, but before we talk about him, there's a movie somewhere here on your IMDb. I'm trying to find it. Something about a gorilla. It was a Planet of the Apes ripoff that you did.
Oh, yeah. That movie never came out as of yet, but I did a movie with the Polonias called...
Gorilla Warfare Battle of the Apes.
When Planet of the Apes was coming out in the year 2001, did it come out? I think the summer of 2001.
Probably that one.
Me and Mark go, hey, let's make a movie in 3D and let's call it Battle of the Apes. He goes, okay. And I sent them some ape masks. and some APNs, and he did this movie called Planet of the Apes, or Battle of the Apes, Guerrilla Warfare, and never came out. And we actually made money on it. Me and Mark made money on that movie, but it's never came out. I used to have talks once in a while with the Rhino. Rhino has like a little not their actual video label, but they got a film department too. And the guy who runs that used to call me up every night. Hey, you want to do something with that? I love that Battle of the Apes. And it's kind of a fun movie, you know. It's kind of fun. Jeff Dylan Graham's in that movie, if you know who he is.
I think so.
He's a lot of these low budget stuff, so kind of cool. It's kind of a little treasure if it ever comes out. Maybe one day it will. I think right now, who owns the right is Leo Films. Leo has four of my films, I guess. He has Evil Sister 2. Another movie that I made money on but never came out called Scream Queen with Linnea Quigley. It's like the only movie. She's a Scream Queen, but it's the only movie she did titled Scream Queen.
That just never came out.
Battle of the Apes. And another movie that came out, I think it came out under The Bewitching. I think it came out about a year and a half ago, and I did that a while back. So,
you mentioned that you kind of just sent off some ape masts to the Polonias. Where are they? Where do they operate out of?
Polonias?
Yeah.
If I tell you, I'll have to tell you.
Oh no.
Out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So you're pretty much sending X amount of money to the Polonias along with some ape masts and having faith that they're going to return you a movie that will make you money and not send you to the poorhouse.
Yeah.
Does that ever wig you out, just knowing that you're sitting in your office while somebody's taking X amount of your money and making a movie?
You know, not on that one. I'm not worried about Mark or John. They're like, if you ever talk to Mark or John, they'll agree. We're almost like family because we know each other so long. So I wasn't worried at all, you know, so.
And before, yes, back to what we were talking about, Darren Ramage and Brain Damage Films, who have been around for many, many years, putting out lots of variety of the low-budget, high-gore, maybe it needs an editor to trim it down type films. And when did you start working with Darren?
I know Darren for a long time. I met him in 1994 at a Fangoria convention here in LA by the LAX airport. And he was working, before he worked for Brain Damage, he worked for, he worked for another video label, that's gone out of business since then. And, so I met him in 94. I think he released my first movie in about 97. Well, he released Things. He did a re-release of Things. He released Evil Sister. I think Buff Camp Bloods. They released Vampire Femmes, the movie I did, The Screaming, and probably a couple of Dead Time Tales. So I've got a few of my pictures, and so I know Darren, you know, for a long time.
And I'm shocked that Brain Damage has become what it has, because I remember just 5 years ago, I think that it was the actual label Brain Damage was a lot smaller than it is today.
Well, Darren's like a really great, I don't know if you ever met him, or, you know, a lot of people have met him at the conventions and stuff. Darren's a great guy, he's very aggressive, loves horror films, and I think he took it on himself to go after a lot of these movies that are people making throughout the country. And just, you know, they have a home. You know, it's like, you know, if you love this low-budget blood gore, you know, and boobs, you know, that's your one-stop source. And anyone listening to this should visit, of course, Razor Digital, which I've been working for them for a long time. RazorDigital.com, but they could go over to BrainDamage.com, and they could go over to SterlingMovieFactory.com. But anyways, you know, so if you like that stuff, and you know, he did the Traces of Death, he did that whole series, which you could buy off his website now. I don't make any money off that. I'm just, you know, if you're like, that's like true gore versus horror. It's a little different, but, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a good thing about Darren. He's really the only true horror label in the U.S. I mean, you have other, you know, you got Lionsgate and all the, you know, but he's really the boutique label for that, you know.
Lionsgate is just whoring out horror. Darren actually has made it his career.
Yeah, you know, I like Lionsgate. People say this and that about Lionsgate, but, you know, I think it's good that the stuff's coming out there, you know.
I mean, absolutely.
There's like a, it's kind of bad for me. There's like a glut of it, but if you're a fan, you got to be loving it, you know.
And you actually, of course, had your sequel to Unseen Evil, which was retitled by the fine folks at Lionsgate to Alien 3000, and I forget the movie it was, but they grabbed some stock art from that film and threw it on the cover, and Alien 3000 came out complete with Lorenzo Lamas and what was possibly the greatest special feature of 2006, which was A Day in the Life of Alien 3000, which had the alien from the film, a man in a costume, going to what I assume was the actual Lionsgate office. And it unfortunately only lasted about 2 minutes, but I needed to extend my thanks. I don't even know if you were involved or if it was the filmmakers, but that was one hell of a feature.
This is what happened with that. We did the deal, and I got a phone call. It's like, can you bring the... in fact, I got the head for the thing sitting in my... see my office right now, but I was gonna say. So they call me up and they go, "Can you bring the head and can you bring the hands and the feet to Lionsgate office?" I go, "Yeah, sure." And then they did the thing. It was kind of funny, you know. Hey, yeah, I want to mention Priscilla Barnes is also in that movie.
Yeah, I remember that. We were just talking about Priscilla a couple weeks ago. She's in a film called Sex Sells, playing a porn star.
Priscilla's she was really great to work with, and, you know, she's a good person. She's a real good person. And then Scotty Schwartz, do you know that name?
No, actually.
Scotty Schwartz was actually in, he's in my movie. He was in Christmas Story. He's the guy that got his tongue stuck to the frozen pole, and he was in the toy. He's the little kid in the toy with Richard Pryor and Jackie Gleason. And I believe he's in a horror classic, that Raiders of the Living Dead. That's from the mid-80s. We had an all-star cast in that movie. Of course, we had the great flashbacks from the first Unseen, so yeah, really real all-star cast, you know.
And you know, I was reading an interview that one of your filmmakers that has gone on to bigger things since working with you, Jay Wolfel, and he directed the original Unseen Evil, and his quote about the second one was, "I think this is the only movie I've seen where a new actor has flashbacks to their character being played by another actor in a movie."
That's funny.
No. Yeah, I loved, I dug Alien 3000. I got some flack from some anti-Alien 3000 people. But...
you know something? There's a lot of bad reviews on the internet. But for me, it's hard to make these movies. You're trying your best, we tried hard. We didn't, you know, skimp on any, and we brought in some names and tried our best. And, you know, hey, look, these movies aren't going to be winning Academy Awards anytime soon, but we're doing them. And you know something? If nobody was making them, there'd be a big cry. Hey, we want more of this kind of like type of films, you know?
Speaking of not winning an Academy Award, you have out there through Maverick Entertainment right now one of my most favorite films of whatever it was, 2005 or 2006, Creepies. Your killer spider micro-budget film that comes complete with, and I always tell people about this whenever I bring up the wackiness of direct-to-video cinema, a nuclear bomb being represented by TNT in a briefcase, which was just genius.
Well, right now, me and the director, I'm not going to mention his name, but we're not seeing eye to eye on stuff. But for that particular film, I think Jeff was the director. We're just not seeing eye on stuff. But he loved like these I'm thinking of these British TV shows with the animated Thunderbirds. And he loved Space 1999 and all this kind of stuff. So he wanted to like, and he loves doing miniatures. And I think we had like no money to do that movie, but it's like some of those miniature shots are really, really cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like fun, you know? It's like spiders and all this kind of stuff. It was just fun, you know, looking at the movie. We're hoping Creepies 2 comes out eventually, because that's another really, really cool film with all the miniatures.
Yeah, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for that one. So is that a film that you made for another company, and they're just kind of slow shopping it around, or did you actually front the money for that one?
The story is, me and Jeff pulled our own money together to make Creepies, and then we sold it to the distributor that released it through Maverick. Maverick's not the, they're just the distributor, they're not the investor. And the same company goes, hey, we want you to make a second one. Because I think it did really good in Japan, so I think there was already, you know, a lot of interest in Japan for it, you know. So finally, we're going to go and make it. And those movies take about a year to make, you know. It's like, and these movies, you're working on five different movies at one time in different, you know, any given time I got five different movies going in pre-production, production, and post. So, like, right now I'm working on a movie called Sawblade that we're shooting, and I got Appetite for Deconstruction in post. I got a Snake movie in post. Got a couple scripts getting written right now. We're going to do the sequel, Curse of the Living Board, and I'm going to announce the title right here, because I thought of this title when we were making Living Board, and I didn't know they were remaking this film from the 80s, but the working title for the Curse of the Living Board is Curse of the Living Board 2, Prom Night. So I didn't know they were remaking Prom Night, so I think it's coming out next year sometime, so kind of excited about that. You know, I like Prom Night. I don't know how many people have seen it, because it was a long time ago, and it wasn't like Halloween, you know. Prom Night was kind of fun, but it's not like you're seeing a Nightmare on Elm Street. So, you know, I don't know how many of, let's say, the 18-year-olds of now have seen that movie. But anyways, so we're working on different things all at one time, you know. So Creepies, you know, Creepies, we started before Alien 3000, but we actually shot Alien 3000 before we showed Creepies. So, you know, you always got different things going on at one time.
Well, let's cross our fingers for Creepies 2 to come out at some point.
Yeah, we all want to see it, because it's really cool. We got like giant spiders coming out of volcanoes and all kinds of cool stuff. So,
cool.
So if any distributors are listening out there, you should really, really consider it, because I think it would be great. You know, in fact, it'd be great for Lionsgate. I don't know what the deal is there, but I think people would really like it.
Yeah, I don't understand. I guess. I don't have a source at Maverick, so I don't know how well it did, but I can't imagine it having done to the point where they wouldn't want a sequel.
Well, you know, I don't really handle those dealings, so I just leave it like that. You know, I saw creepy is a lot in Hollywood video and Blockbuster, you know, so... and, you know, to be honest, I know it's, like, really low budget, but I think if you had Creepies 1 and Creepies 2 on a Saturday night on Sci-Fi Channel, I don't think you'd go wrong. I don't think you'd get, like, a lot of people, like, complaining. They're like, wow, you know, this stuff, you know, it's, you know, this stuff's kind of cool.
Those that I have obviously I haven't seen the second one, but Creepies is the most fun that I had with a B movie that entire year. Like my my ex and I probably watched it like twice in the same night, maybe.
Okay, hold on. Ex girlfriend or ex wife?
Ex girlfriend.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
You weren't responsible for a divorce.
Cool.
And on your website, SterlingMovieFactory.com. Let's get the plug out there again.
www.sterlingmoviefactory.com.
If you leave off the www, your computer may crash.
Shameless plug.
You mentioned that the biggest hits that you've had, and obviously this is probably outdated now, but...
Yeah, outdated.
But let's talk about them anyway.
We're busy making movies. I don't got time to screw around with that website.
Let's go through. We have three listed, so let's talk about all three.
Okay,
Unseen Evil with the great Tim Thomerson.
That's Unseen. That's it originally came out as Unseen, and then when the company, U.S., they changed it to Unseen Evil, and I forgot on Showtime if it showed as Unseen or Unseen Evil. But that's the same movie.
Where did you find the most success with it, or was it the U.S. money that made it the most successful, or?
At that time, that was my first movie that showed on Showtime. So that was like, that was a pretty big deal. And it showed on like all, you know, it showed on all the Showtimes, including the major Showtime, you know. So I'm like, you know, that was a big deal. I mean, in fact, it's funny. I didn't know it was going to be on Showtime. Because the distributor never called me up and said, hey, it's airing. But we were working on the very end of Alien 3000. We shot the movie, and then we had some pickups in the summer of, I can't keep it all straight. But then I get this phone call that, 2003, I think, I can't keep it all straight, that we got a call that it was airing on Showtime as we were working on Alien 3000 or Unseen Evil 2 or whatever you want to call it. So
my surprise.
So that's why it was, you know, went to a lot of stores and the Hollywood Video did a great Japan sale. It did a huge, the biggest sale I ever did in Japan was at Unseen. So, you know, all this is exciting, you know, and that means the movie's getting out there. And that's, on these films, that's all you can hope for, you know.
And then, coincidentally, the second film is yet another Jay Wolfel film, Iron Thunder, with Battlestar Galactica's Richard Hatch.
Iron Thunder, like, just a reference to Jay Wolfel. I know Jay since about 91, and we, you know, in the 2000s, we kind of had a falling out. We're actually patching up our differences right now, and like a couple, you know. But you know, we're patching up our differences, and Jay worked on my first movie, and we were friends for like a long time, and you know, I finally got some money to be able to shoot on film for the first time, so. I was talking to Jay, and I just decided I'm going to hire him. And he came up with Iron Thunder, and we're rolling. And I got Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica. I was always a big fan of I don't like the new Battlestar Galactica, but I like the original. You know, I can't get into the new one, you know. But that doesn't mean it's good. It's just my personal preference. I like the first one. And I always liked Richard Hatch, the actor, and I go, oh, it'd be great to work with him one day. And I ran into him at a convention in L.A., and I started talking to him. Hey, I got a little money. Maybe you could be in my movie, blah, blah, blah. And we started talking. And, you know, I invited him out to dinner one night with Jay, and him and Jay just hit it off. And and we're out making a movie called Iron Thunder. And that was my first movie that got sold to Japan. It got a nice U.S. release. You know, I love the artwork for that movie, and just, you know, like kind of a sci-fi film with the action in it. And I really think if you look at Jay's career, and he has some cool movies, I really think you could say that as his, let's say, his epic movie, you know, his, the you know, the big, I don't know how he feels about that, but I would say that's his biggest looking movie, you know.
I didn't realize Iron Thunder was actually shot on film, because I've had a copy since my Hollywood Video was selling out their VHS tapes. I never watched it, though. Was Iron Thunder the one opportunity that you had to shoot on film?
You know, I'll amaze you. I have 9 movies that I shot in 16. I shot on all formats. I'm right now I'm working on my 3rd movie. I'm shooting in high definition. I've shot 8, 9, or 10 films in 3D. So I've done a lot. I mean, I've done a lot over the years, you know.
Now that you brought it up, what was with that 3D craze that the low budget world seemed to embrace, or at least you did, a few years back? Where I think it was maybe the Camp Blood sequels and a few other films were released in 3D. Did you actually find success with that?
Okay, well, since you're calling me because of Razer Digital, I'm gonna talk about Razer Digital now and what happened, the whole story. And this, because I did the 3D stuff, I did Blood Mass. But anyways, a long time ago, about 98, I was reading a magazine about a company in Santa Barbara that was making these 3D lenses that you could put on your video camera, your home video camera, and they had these things called shutter glasses. And you get a whole set, and you could, like, tape movies, like home, you know, your kid playing soccer or whatever, and you could watch it back in 3D. And I go, so it'd be cool to have some of these movies that they make. Should make, like, a regular horror film or something like that in 3D. And I started, like, calling up the company. I go, hey, you know, I'm a movie maker. I'm down here in Orange County. And, you know, I was talking to their marketing guy, and I was invited one day to go see their office, and nothing really happened. It's like, you know, I was trying to get money out of them. They're like, I couldn't get any money out of them. So I'm like, hey, send me one of those lenses to screw around with. So me and Jeff made a short, a 10-minute sci-fi short, and you know, the guy I was dealing with wasn't there anymore when I said, hey, I made a short. So he's not there anymore. I go, here's my phone number. Maybe somebody can call me about my 3D shorts. So about 5 minutes later, I get a call from the president. And he goes, hey, I want to see that short. So we went up there, and I sold the short to them. And by selling them the short, I also did a three-movie picture deal with them, which would include the Camp Blood, the first Camp Blood, Eyes of the Werewolf, and what's the third one? We did a movie, I don't think it came out, it didn't come out big on DVD, about the World Matrix. Matrix was kind of popular then, so it came out on VHS, but never came out on DVD. So at the time, it was called SNS or something like that, the name of the film division, because both the guys who ran the company was named Steve. So Steve Ferguson, which runs Razer Digital now, bought out the other guy in Santa Barbara, and Steve's up north by San Francisco, sort of. And so when you see Razer Digital, I always tell the story because I kind of started them making movies. Back in 98 when I started talking to them, we made the first couple movies in 99, and then, you know, I'm still making movies for Steve Ferguson. Like I said, we're doing Curse of Lizzie Borden 2. We're starting pretty quickly, so, you know, so I So, like, you know, I got him to make movies way back when. And, you know, they went down to make, you know, they put out that Chaos film, which I guess is quite popular. I was not involved with that film at all, but they released that film. People seem to, like, know about, you know, and it's all over the place. So.
I had heard about how insane the director of that movie was.
You know, I have a copy sitting here. I should put it on. I've seen the trailer. But, you know, when I see a movie like that, you got to think back to I Spit on Your Grave. You know, I always think about that movie or Last House on the Left. That's how the company kind of describes that movie. So I think it was shot in Chicago, I think, you know, which, like I said, had nothing to do, but, you know, people know that. And Razor does all kinds of stuff. I think they do a lot of exercise videos that come out. I think they do pretty good on that. And like I said, they've released a ton of my horror films over the years, you know. So, you know, and they're the first company to release my movies in box sets. So I have, for a no-nothing micro-budget kind of guy, I have collector sets, I got box sets. It's really fun. It's just a lot of times more than I could ever imagine how far it went, you know, which it's exciting. It makes it like, wow, this is cool. I'm not just wasting my time. That's how I feel.
I did get a good chuckle when I went to the Rager Digital website to find the artwork for Blood Mask. And it's pretty much you have Blood Mask, and then you have like 30 different exercise videos on their front page, including the ABCs of Couples Fitness, which has a shirtless man and a barely clothed woman. And it appears as if they are in doggy position. Yet this is Couples Fitness.
You know, I haven't, you know, I'm talking to you right now. I haven't seen the Blood Mask artwork, so I'm glad you told me. I'm gonna go check it out. But anyways, yeah, that's funny. They do a lot of exercise stuff, actually.
But since we are nearing the end of the show,
how sad.
Yeah, it is sad, since God knows there is 85 million things to talk about with you. Let's just, actually, you know what? Screw it. I want to hear about the third film that you had listed as in your biggest hits category, Scooter Kids, which featured the Razor Scooter team.
Okay, Razor Kids and Razor Digital are two different things. That's one of my favorite films I made. It's a kids movie we shot on film. I did it with the director. I'm probably saying his name wrong, Eric Swetzler. I'm saying his name wrong, but a quick story before we get the Scooter Kids is I met Eric through Jay. They used to be roommates like a long time ago, and when I first came out to LA, I met Jay. I was like, "Hey, come over," and I met Eric. So, like in the mid '90s, Jerry hooked me up with this guy, Cliff Hollingsworth, and he goes, "Hey, I want you to go work with them and make this cheap, like, beach movie called Too Good to Be True." I'm like, okay, that sounds like fun. So I got to work on the beach for a week. That was kind of fun. So I'm working with this Cliff guy. He's, like, co-producing with me. We'll just start talking. And it's like, he goes, "Next week I'm going to New York." "Oh, really? What are you doing there?" And this is about 95, 96, something around there. But I'm going to meet with Penny Marshall. I have the rights to this guy called the Cinderella Man, the boxer. And I didn't know who he was. I'm like, oh.
Hey, everybody. Skype just randomly disconnected myself and David, but we have him back on the line, and he was telling us about his friend who had the rights to Cinderella Man, I believe you said.
Yeah, so anyway, we're working on Too Good to Be True. It's like a beach film. It's kind of fun. I'm working with Eric, who directed Scooter Kids. Great guy. Love Eric. And I'm working with Cliff. Cliff, nice guy too. And he's like, "I'm going to New York." And then, you know, the Penny Marshall. I'm like, "Wow, that's." And you know, the movie came out last year, and you actually see his name. I think he has story credit, and I think he gets one of the, I think he's screenplay or I think he shares screenplay. So that was kind of cool, you know, when that movie came out, because it was like, major people in that movie, you know, Ron Howard and, Renee Zegwell or whatever her name is, and, you know what I'm saying. So I can't think of other names, but it's kind of major. So anyways, in 2000, the scooters, the little scooters that kids would ride around, there's a big craze. And I don't know how it was on the East Coast, but the West Coast is very popular. So I start thinking to myself, I go, you know something? I'm going to do a movie with these scooters. And I'm going to finance it myself, actually. And I'll get Eric and I got somebody to ride it, Garrett Clancy, who's acted and written a lot of my stuff. And we're going to just shoot it on video, you know, for nothing. And then I'm with the distributor that's handling my Iron Thunder movie, and he's like, I'm going to do this movie called Scooter Kids. He goes, let me see the script. So like 2 weeks later, I booked a movie that originally I was going to like shoot on video. I was going to, you know, and I got money to shoot on 16. And then we contact Scooter. They're out here in L.A., and they were going to, they sponsored us a little. They came up with the Scooter team, you know, that did all kinds of tricks and stuff. And it was just kind of like fun, you know, like, I did a lot of horror movies, and at that time in my life, in 2000, you know, it was a little heavy for me, all these movies I'm doing with blood and, you know, people getting killed and blood, and not that it's, you know, it's fun, but, you know, you do movie after movie, and it just got a little heavy for me, so kind of fun to work with other kids, and got to shoot on film, and it was just kind of fun, just kind of different, and it came out, I think, 2002, 2003. Of course, we missed the craze, but really enjoyed working that point, and I think it's a major film for me, because I think it's like a film I could show to Disney or anybody, and I've noticed here, I live out in California, that the scooters are getting popular again, so that's kind of exciting. Maybe Scooter Kids could have another go at it, you know?
Let's just hope that it comes back again when the license expires and you have it again.
Exactly. Yeah.
There we go.
We'll see what happens.
And on that note, let's get the final plugs in there. I know that we have Blood Mask, Gothic Vampires from Hell, and the website. You go right ahead.
No. I want to mention a couple websites. Of course, the www.sterlingmoviefactory.com. But I'm also doing these high-definition videos. And we have the music stuff. And the music's really great. We have a lot of cool bands, a lot of alternative stuff, and some old-school stuff. The bands are really good. And if you go to YouTube, the search word or the search engine word would be Dave, D-A-V-E, Music Factory. Everything's singular. Dave, not David. Dave, Music Factory. Of course, check out Razor Digital for Blood Mask and some exercise videos, you know. And
couple sex.
Exactly. Well, they got some naughty stuff on there, too. And you could still buy my 3D movies on that site. Check out Camp Blood's the one to go for. That's like Camp Blood. Hunting Season's kind of cool, too. They're all kind of fun, but, you know, if you're going to pick, choose. And I think they have some box sets, so you get, like, a lot of stuff, you know. Support them, support all these, not only what I'm doing, but all these other, micro-budget people, because it's, you know, it's what you guys out there want. A lot of these people love this low-budget horror stuff. So, you know, spending 10 or 20 bucks on a movie once a week, if everybody did it, would really help the micro-budget business out a lot. You know, I work in a business, but I'm a fan also. I love to go to Best Buy or Circuit City, Fry's, or DVD Planet and buy, like, one movie a week. And, you know, for $10, you can have a lot of fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for me.
And I will go ahead and do the final plugs for the movies. Blood Mask, that is out through Razor Digital Entertainment. By the time you listen to it, it's available. Go out and check it out. Maybe even buy it if you want to be nice. And then May 15th from the fine folks at Music Video Distributors, Gothic Vampires from Hell. That's coming out, once again, May 15th. And I forgot about this one. If you go to your local Walmart right now and you actually, for some God knows what reason, want to buy the Black Christmas remake, you can buy it with David's Tower of Blood, which you can check out the review somewhere on the website if you find the archives, in a two-pack. So you get two for the price of one, and you can have fun somehow with that two-pack.
Yes.
And this is Greg Conley.
This was great. You know, we've been on the phone for about an hour. It just flew by, really.
Really, yeah. After the next film that you have come out after that, after Gothic Vampires from Hell, we'll have an excuse to get you back on, or if you have anything to announce, let us know, because it never hurts. You're a good guest, so we could do another hour with you very, very easily, and this is actually going to be the longest show ever.
Well, you know, we'll do another show with you, and next time we'll plan it, and maybe we'll have one or two other people in the room with us, so we could have like a director, an actor, and me, a producer, so you could look, you could get all sides of what we're doing, you know?
Oh, God, I think my head will explode.
Great. Fantastic.
But on that note, Dave, I want to thank you for joining us. The people can once again check out www.sterlingmoviefactory.com for more information. Blood Mask is out there. Gothic Vampires from Hell is out there. Tower of Blood with Black Christmas is out there. Whatever the case, go out, buy, rent, do whatever you need to, but check them out. Dave, thanks again. And this is Greg Conley signing off with the Your Video Store Shelf podcast, yourvideostoreshelf.com for all your direct-to-video needs. Dave, we will talk to you again soon.
Sure. Yeah, please wait.
Talk to you later, guys.